If you take your bulletins and you flip it to the next page after the sermon and postlude and so forth, you'll see that we have a passage of scripture from the Apostle Paul. And they are words, it's a message of really tremendous wisdom and strength. And from reading these words, they're incredibly upbeat, right? They're incredibly strong, incredibly encouraging. And from just reading them, I don't think that anyone would ever guess the background out of which they came, the suffering that this man endured writing these words, with arrests, with beatings. He had been shipwrecked several times, had gone through starvation and worse. He was imprisoned a total of about 6 years in three different prisons. And back then, I mean, the prison system, if you think the prison system now is bad, back then, just imagine with nobody looking over, no real controls, no rights. And so the conditions were horrendous. And after his final imprisonment in 68 AD, he was beheaded. So this week's passage is one that he wrote to the people of Philippi. And he wrote this from prison. And I point this out because I think the message is extraordinary. It's incredibly inspirational on its own, but extraordinary to realize what he's writing in light of this situation. It's just incredibly potent and real. So here we go. Written from prison and in chains. Paul writes, "My brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I'll say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. And do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and by your humble pleas, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise," he is saying in chains, "think about these things." Let me say just parenthetically, just a reminder again, these are not untested words he's saying. Theory, philosophy, pie in the sky, positive thinking. What he's presenting us with is this gift of its rigorous spiritual practice. It's a practice that he employs himself under some of the worst human conditions possible. And where did he get this practice from? He's saying it right here. He got it through Christ, who employed it himself under the most strenuous and rigorous conditions possible. And what I love is this practice is so obviously effective that it doesn't just work for him in his own need as he's in prison and in chains, but in that condition, and in that location, he's actually able to lift other people up through this. No easy task. So he continues and says, "Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me." And then he offers an if-then. And if you do this, the God of peace will be with you. It's through this practice, he's saying, I have learned to be content in whatever state I am. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. And he concludes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. May God bless our understanding and our living, our embodiment of the secret wisdom of strength and joy. Amen. It's interesting, kind of curious how the Bible sometimes can say some strange sounding things, things that can sound like rational and impractical possibilities. Today's passage is like that when the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things in Christ. And hearing that, you probably go, really? Really, all things? Because I don't know, I've tried, and I bet you have too. I've prayed for things where I didn't get what I wanted. I prayed fervently. And so you wonder, well, what could he possibly be talking about then? So maybe you think, well, I don't know, well, maybe he means this for himself. Maybe what he's talking about, well, he can do all things through Christ. But then you think, well, I don't know. There's three different times where he was in prison and then he was finally beheaded. So what could he mean by this? Because if he meant what our minds typically jump to and assume when we hear these words, that you get everything you want if you're faithful enough or something, then you know he could have made his life a heck of a lot easier. So then you think, well, obviously this is not what he's talking about. And I was thinking about this in light of so many things that we have all been through this last year and we continue to go through. So many changes, so many challenges, things that we've lived through personally, changes and challenges that we are acutely aware of, that other people are going through, people who we love, and those challenges that relate to our church. And we read about these. Please, please read the annual reports that you get to feel the heart and soul of what we have gone through together, things that you would never guess, that you would never know about otherwise. And it's such an important part of our lives and history, where over the course of the year, we've all faced plenty of changes and challenges, some good and some not so good. And in thinking about this passage, I remembered this. There was an experience that I had a number of years ago that has really stuck with me because I feel like it really expresses so well, I think, what this passage means. I can do all things in Christ. And how with his strength, with his perspective, when we embody that, with his encouragement, I can absolutely handle the challenges of life better. If, and here's the big if I diligently practice this perspective that Christ gives me, that all together we call this faith. If I practice it, and if I do it, if I live in this very specific way that Paul describes, then we get the results that he's talking about, that we want: resiliency, strength, great attitude, peace, the whole thing. And so this experience that I thought about in this regard had to do with our beloved Carousel thrift shop right downstairs. Now the Carousel has been shut down for almost a year now. Shut down middle of May. But a while back, this is the thing that stuck in my mind. A number of years ago, I went down to the Carousel for their monthly meeting. I walked into this to the room where they have their meetings around a little table, and it's dark. But the volunteers are sitting around the table anyway, and they're pretty quiet. But they're just sitting in the dark. And so I walked in, and I said, "Are we getting ready for a séance?" Right? And they said, well, we think the circuit breaker is broken. We can't get it to work. Now, I'm just hesitating because it's a little male ego thing, right? It's kind of like opening that pickle jar, right? Somebody says, "I can't get the pickle jar open." And boy, does that just hook the old ego. So, of course, I said, "Well, I think I can get it to work." So I go over to the circuit breaker, and I went around from circuit breaker to circuit breaker, flipping every switch, looking at every switch, and you know what? Nothing. Nothing. They were right. The circuit was broken. So what did we do? What did we do? Well, as people of faith, we did not pray for God to turn the lights back on or repair the circuit breaker. What we did was we held a meeting in candlelight. And as people of faith, it was a beautiful thing. There wasn't any complaining about it. There wasn't, you know, focusing on like, "Oh, you know, this shouldn't have happened. Why did this happen?" You know, everybody was happy. In Him we can do all things. Now, the interesting thing was, we didn't override a broken electrical circuit through Christ. I was thinking about it. But then I thought, or did we? Or did we? Through the presence of mind that Christ had, maybe the presence that we have studied, that we've practiced and developed a certain orientation over the years that doesn't freak out or doesn't give up, it doesn't wallow, it doesn't focus on the negative. But we dealt with our problem with a calm mind that finds and works towards a solution and acts. And so, you know what? I think in this situation and other situations like that, we actually did override the circuit through Christ because we found light. As they say, you know, when one in faith, when one door closes, another one opens. But faith never says that it does this by itself. And what I've learned in being in the presence of people who are in the spirit like this. You know, I do a lot of talking, you know, every week, and as clergy, we talk to you. But one of the things you may not know is that we get fed by you. We get informed by you. We learn about living faith through you folks who are living your faith and dealing with your lives and how you are going through it. We learn from you. We're together in the spirit. And what I've learned from people who are in the spirit, steeped in His spirit, specifically practicing and learning His ways, we learn again and again from His ways that we can adapt, we can overcome, we can still meet, we can still live in the midst of all sorts of challenges. And I see it all the time with people going through extraordinary things and somehow doing it with joy, doing it with love, dealing with kindness, gentleness, out of this commitment to share a different kind of light, a different kind of light than that which the world depends on, where if one circuit is broken, one pathway is broken, we light a candle and we find another way. Through His light, and through our actions, and heavily, heavily leaning on God in the process. That's what we did last year in so many ways. Last year has been a fierce practice for all of us, a fierce spiritual practice, holding our feet to the fire, putting our feet to the fire again and again with this exercise of practicing this kind of faith. We can do all things with Christ. And again, what kind of things? Practice brain surgery without any background in it? No. Reverse the aging process? No. Live forever? Be illness-free? Grow taller? You know, recreate hair, right? No. Beat cancer forever? Walk in front of a Mack truck unscathed. Why did that happen? Why did God do that? No. You know, when you read and you study, never through Paul, never through Christ, do we ever hear about wishing these kinds of things, you know, wishing that something didn't happen, you know. Never hear Jesus go, boy, you know, I wish that didn't happen. Or how can we undo something that happened? You know, boy, God, can we reverse time here on this one? Can we undo this? It doesn't happen. So what kinds of things is Apostle Paul talking about? Not bending spoons, reading minds, defying gravity, or overriding circuit breakers, but he is talking about faith. Where if we live a certain way, we can do all Christ-like things through Christ. All things that Christ would do by taking his approach to problems and life and doing that with love and joy. And by doing this, it's an ability. And this is what I love about Paul's words, is he's right out there and he says, I have learned, which means that at one time he didn't have this. And through practice, he developed this. I've learned where in the midst of anything, there is a beyond worldly ability, surpasses all understanding, to draw spiritual strength and to still find a way in the midst of all sorts of stuff to still be able to find joy in pretty horrible situations. And in the midst of this, to somehow know that God is good. That life is good. And to find that joy and love and encouragement and then give it to others. Give it away. Even if you're in chains, in prison. And you know, the path of Christianity is along these lines. Have you ever heard this sometimes called the way? Have you ever heard that? Christ is called the way. Christianity is called the way. Christ said, you know, I'm the way. This is what he's talking about. Sharing this approach with everything. And just returning to faith again and again. And that's what he always did. He did in the good times, there's faith. In tough times, there's faith. Think about these things, Paul says, specifically. How do we do that? Think about these things. Now, what you think about the most is where your mind will be. Right? It's obvious, but Lao Tzu said, change your mind and the rest will follow. And that's how it works. Do that with Christ, and that is being in Christ. If we follow this path, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Get knocked off track, go back. Think about these things. Keep on doing what you have learned, received, heard, seen in me. And if you do this, the God of peace will be with you. Rigorous practice in whatever state I am. Wow. Wow. I've learned to be content. Learned the secret, he said. And now you have too. This is where it comes from. It doesn't just happen. I have learned to be content in any and all circumstances. Wouldn't you like to have that? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Living on purpose with faith. Final story. One day, it was towards the beginning of my ministry, and I was meeting with a young mom, and she was terminally ill. And we were out on her back porch, and we were talking, and it was a beautiful spring day, and her daughter was playing in the backyard. And as we were talking, I was really struck, and I was thinking about the fact that what I had noticed with her during over the course of her illness, and you can sometimes see this a lot, is she went from being a very anxious person to this incredible grace came over her, and a beauty and a really grounded strength and peace. And I said to her, I said, "What happened?" And at that moment, all she said, there was a pause, and she pointed out to the backyard and she said, "Look out there." Looking at the backyard, at her daughter. She said, "Look at the view. It's such a gift. Life is a gift," she said. "God is good." To be a person of faith is to see life differently, to commit to that, to do that on purpose. Second, to choose very carefully what you tell yourself. And third, to see life as God's gift. God is good. So regardless of what's going on, enjoy the view while we have it. Amen.
God of our past, our present, and our future, we gather today to give thanks for your blessings upon each one of us and upon this church. We are celebrating this church today, God, 178 years of serving you. And so we think back to those who first had a vision of a church on this site, to those who took chances, to those who dreamed dreams, and then worked to make their dreams come true. People like Frederick Marquand and William Webb, Elisha Sherwood, Clarence Sturgis, and Oliver Perry. Men who founded not only our church, but who laid the foundation for our town. And we give you thanks, God, for those who gave of their time and their money to make this church a reality, realizing the sacrifice they made to ensure a future church for unknown generations. We're so appreciative, God, for those who heard your voice throughout the decades and followed your call, serving as leaders and teachers and ministers, so that this church could thrive and grow and become your hands in our world. And we are so thankful for all those people who have been such a part of our fellowship for so many years. And we are so thankful, God, for each person who is here today, for the ways in which we are able to care for one another, to support one another on our journeys of life, and to give strength to one another in troubling times. For 178 years, God, we have baptized your children, and confirmations have been celebrated. Couples have been united in marriage. Loved ones have been honored here in funerals. We have heard professions of faith from our youth. And we have heard answers to our prayers as we've sat in the sanctuary. In a world of confusing and conflicting voices, God, we thank you for the generosity that has enabled us to reach far beyond our own selves and to spread the word and action of Christ's love throughout our world. We are a blessed people, God, and we thank you for all those blessings. Be with each one of us today as we recommit ourselves to this church and to its ministry, so that unknown future generations can worship here in this same place, continuing to be the faithful servants of you in our town and in our world. All this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.